We're talking about heaven. We've been ministering for this now about 12 weeks, 13 weeks. And a couple of those weeks, though, was not heaven, it was hell. But we wanted to just do a little injection in there about what hell's going to be like for those that go there. But most of our focus has been on heaven. And what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks is how to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How to do that. What does the Bible say so that we can know we're actually putting treasures in heaven for when we get there? I think it's very wise of us to plan for that and to be ready for that moment. You live your life here. The Bible says it's like a vapor, right? And you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6. We're going to be going there. But the Bible says that life here is like a vapor. Well, that's very quick and passing. Some other translations say that life is like a breath. And I was talking to somebody about that last week. And if life is like a breath, and I'm over 50, and a lot of you, most of you are probably over that too. A few young guys in here. But if some of you are over 50, it's like, okay, we've already inhaled our breath. We're about to exhale it. That means we don't have a lot of time. And so you need to be diligent to make sure that your eternity, not that your salvation is sure, because I trust you have made that already with God. But I'm talking about your eternity, your responsibility, your role in the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ, that you've really planned for that. And Richard Baxter, one of the old ministers in the 1700s, 1800s, wrote this about heaven and believers. If there be so certain and glorious a rest for the saints, why is there no more industrious seeking after it? One would think if a man did but once hear of such unspeakable glory to be obtained and believed what he heard to be true, he should be transported with the vehemency of his desire for it, and should almost forget to eat and drink, and should care for nothing else, and speak of and inquire after nothing else but how to get this treasure. And yet people who hear of it daily and profess to believe it as a fundamental article of faith do as little mind it or labor for it as if they had never heard of any such thing or did not believe one word that they did hear. And so I thank God you're believers. And so this is going to matter to you. And Jesus gave this story. He told the story about a man. And right before he told the story, he said, listen, a man's life does not consist of the things that he has here. That is not your life and the definition of your life. And you've been to many funerals, I'm sure. And when you go to the funerals, you know, all of the things that maybe that man or that woman accomplished, all of the titles that they gained and that they earned are quickly passed over in the eulogy of their life. And the bulk of the time is trying to explain what a wonderful person they were, what a loving person they were, what a godly person they were. And a lot of times in funerals, people are really searching very hard to find something like that to say. Though they might say a lot of things that they've gained or accumulated in life, that character of who they are, that character of what they are. And so Jesus is absolutely truthful when he says our life does not consist of the things that we have, but it's really who we are and who we belong to. So he said this man, you know, it became very successful, and this is in Luke chapter 12 that I'm referring to. And he was so successful that the barns that he had already had were not sufficient enough to receive all of the surplus that he had gained from all of his prosperity. So he said, I will tear these barns down. I'll build bigger barns in order to store everything that I have. And he said, after he had done all of that, he said to himself, now just take your leisure, eat and be merry and drink and just rest, for my soul is set for many years to come. And the Bible says the Lord said, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And so all of that he had laid up for himself was not for him to enjoy. And he would never have the benefits of that. And Jesus said, and so it is for everyone that is not rich toward God. And so I ask you that today, are you rich toward God? The beautiful thing is anybody can be. That's the beautiful thing. Here in this world, it can be very difficult. You have to have a particular intellect. You have to have industry. You have to have skills. You have to have physical ability. And you've got to have just maybe some of the right connections to get particular places in life. But for the riches in heaven, the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. It is not by might nor by power, says the Lord, but it's by my spirit. So anybody here can be extremely wealthy in heaven, though you might have been very, very lacking here. And no American really does, but you may be very lacking here. You can be very wealthy there. You can be very wealthy here and very lacking there. And so in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus makes this comment, and I wanted you to read it because I want you to see it from his mouth. He says in verse 19 of chapter 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so if Jesus is telling us, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, our question has to be, how do you do that? How do you really do that? And so we're going to talk more about that this morning. And we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ a little bit more. I would say to you right now that one way that you can be wealthy in heaven is to do everything you possibly can to populate heaven with people. The Bible says he that wins souls is wise. And so let your life be actively involved in bringing people into the kingdom of God. There's nothing that you have that you can take with you as far as tangible possessions that you have. The only thing that you can take with you to heaven as far as tangible possessions are the people that you have been instrumental in and leading to Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you, populate. As a matter of fact, Paul said to the churches, you are our trophy in his presence. You are the demonstration of our life for Jesus Christ on earth. There are souls to save. The Bible says, by any means, win some. Don't live your Christian life and go to heaven without the experience of seeing people saved as a result of your life. And that is through prayer, that is through giving, that is through going, and that is through sending. And I'm grateful that we are a part of a great mission church where we are actively and constantly every day sowing into the mission field and seeing people come to Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful that we have access to ministers and missionaries and churches and pastors all over the world that we are actively helping to bring the gospel everywhere we can. And so you have that avenue as well. And so I want you to read a few scriptures with me beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to run through these things. And as you turn in there, I just want to say again, if you are a believer, everything should affect your heavenly citizenship. Everything you do here should be in regards to your future there in heaven with God. Your tithes, your offerings, how and where we live, our missions work, the work of God, run that you might obtain. For in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so this passage clearly tells us that y'all as believers, we are going to the judgment seat of Christ. A foundation has been laid in the days of the Apostle Paul, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, every builder that would come after Paul throughout the generations has the opportunity to build upon that foundation. Now, just because you're active in the things of God, active in the kingdom of God, or actively building up the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you're examined before the judgment seat of Christ, you actually could suffer the loss of some things that you thought were going to be very profitable for you in heaven. And so you have to take great care of what you're doing and how you're doing it and the motivation that you're doing it with. The power by which you're doing it. Because as you see in this scripture, your works are going to be tried by fire. And if your works were of precious metals, then they're going to endure that fire. And they're going to be there at the end of that judgment. And that is going to be your treasure. But some people at that judgment seat of Christ, their works are going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. And they're going to be burned up. They're going to have absolutely nothing to show for themselves when they enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the beautiful thing about this is not a trial of their salvation. Nobody at this judgment seat of Christ is going to be lost and sentenced to hell. They will all enter into the kingdom of God. But not everybody that is entering into the kingdom of God is going to enter into his kingdom with treasure, as the Bible refers to it. And so we want to lay our treasures up in heaven above. And so I would say if you want to do that and you want to be prepared for your eternity and have something to show for it, understand the foundation that has been laid in the days of the Apostle Paul and the other prophets, which is Jesus Christ, and find some way by the grace of God that you can actively work to build on that foundation. What are you doing to build the church of Jesus Christ? And that, because that's what is built on the foundation. It is that house of Christ, which is the church. So how are you building on it? How are you bringing in people to the kingdom of God and adding to the house? How are you keeping the house strong? How are you keeping the house viable? How are you keeping the house successful so that it can continue in every generation to do what the kingdom of God, the church, is supposed to do? You need to know these things. You need to be able to examine carefully yourself and the work that you're doing. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul again talks about this judgment. And he tells us in verse 18 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, he said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So what are you fixed on? What's the majority of your life fixed on? What's your motivation fixed on? Is it on most of your life consist with the things that are temporal and going to pass away? Or is most of your life fixed upon what is eternal that you can't see, but you're living for that? For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If we die here, then we're going to go to heaven instantly, where we have a place prepared, a body for us. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We want to go home. We want to be with Jesus in heaven. So if so be that being clothed, we will not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So in other words, listen, this is important. Verse 5 ties us back to verse 18. The only possible way you can be obsessed with things that you don't see and begin to lose interest with the things that you do see and desire to be in heaven with God and leave this place is because the Holy Ghost in you is producing that desire. It is impossible for us to devote our life for something that we don't see. Something that we've never touched, or to call heaven a home and we've never been there. How can we do that? It is the earnest of the Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost in us that is doing that. Now verse 6 says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, while we're here on earth in these bodies, we're absent from the Lord. If we're here, we're not in heaven. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We really do want to leave these bodies so we can be in heaven with Jesus. And everybody that's born again really does want that. Therefore, knowing we're going to be in the presence of God, verse 8, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, your life here on earth, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Good being precious metals, bad being wood, hay, stubble. Good are those things that endure, bad are those things that burn up. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So he says this, I know that I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of my life on earth. And Jesus is going to try my life. And the things that I've done in life are going to be tested as to whether they were good or bad. And all of the bad things will burn up in that fire and the good things will endure. And those will produce treasures for me in heaven. And we know that we're going to stand before God in heaven. Revelation 14 verse 13 tells us this. And I read this to you a couple of weeks ago, but he says, in Revelation 14, 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Beloved, when you leave this earth and go into heaven, you are going into heaven. You're going to fully remember everything you did on earth. You're going to fully remember every opportunity that was given to you. You're going to fully remember everything God was prodding for you. And everything that you've done, your works are going to follow you into heaven. And Jesus Christ is going to test those works that you have done. And this is where you are going to be able to benefit and receive your treasures in heaven. As sometimes we might call it, our crowns in heaven. And so I want you to understand it. The Bible teaches us, and I'm just going to read this. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one way you can test your heart. Is this work that I'm doing going to withstand the fire of His test? Well, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Am I doing it for people? Am I doing it to be recognized? Or am I doing it to be thanked? Jesus said, if you're doing it for that, you have your reward here. But if you're doing it for your Father, and maybe you'll never be noticed on earth, but you're doing it heartily for God, then He will reward you for that. So check your motivation. Because if you check your motivation, God will help you. John, 2 John 8 says, look to yourselves, examine yourself, that you don't lose those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. That's 2 John 8. You can receive a full reward. Some people will have a partial reward. Some people, all their works might be burned up. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, charge them that are rich in this world. That's every one of us. Don't be high-minded. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to give, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Here, Paul is teaching Timothy, if you want to lay treasures up in heaven, then he's saying, listen, warn those that have things. And that's us. We have things. We have a lot. And so Paul says to Timothy, tell them, warn them, listen, be rich in good works. Be rich in good works. Don't trust in the uncertainty of what you have. Don't trust in that. Don't rely upon that. Rely in God. And so with what you have, use that for the benefit of God's kingdom. Use that for the benefit. He says it this way, be rich in good works. Be ready to distribute. You don't always just give. You're ready to give, but you don't always do it. You got to have wisdom in how you're helping and what you're helping with. But be ready to do it. Be willing to give. And if you do this, you're laying up for yourself a good foundation against the time to come. So that's, you're laying up treasure in heaven if you do that. And that's just beautiful. Because God doesn't look at the amount that we give. He looks at the percentages that we give. Right? Jesus said that the lady, the little widow with two mites, she put all of that in. And other people with all of their wealth gave bunches and bunches of money. And Jesus said she gave more than anybody. She gave more than anybody. And so God doesn't look at the amount we give. He looks at the percentages that we give. And he understands that and he takes that into consideration. So if you're taking notes, here's a few more that I want you to take down. Now, I've already said win souls. Win souls. Whatever you do, be a part of a team that is actively out there bringing people into the kingdom of God. And you belong to a great church that is actively doing that, giving our money for that. We give hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to missions. We would give more if we could, because it's certainly needed. But this is actively what we're doing. The second thing that I told you to do is be rich in good works. Be ready to give. Be willing to give and communicate, and you'll lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto God. Don't do it for men to see you, or your reward will be down here. All right, so I've given you those. Here's a few more. You can obtain rewards in heaven by ministering to the lost and to your enemies. And I stress mainly now your enemies. The way you treat your enemies can actually build up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Two scriptures. I'm going to give you the passages. Just write them down. You can study this on your own later. Matthew 5, verses 44 through 48. Matthew 5, 44 through 48, and Luke 6, 35 through 37. Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the just and unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? So if you want a reward, learn by the grace of God to love those who don't love you. And demonstrate that love, right? Demonstrate that, and you'll have a reward in heaven. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 through 37 says very similar. Love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, for your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the highest. So you lend. You're doing everything as unto the Lord, right? You're doing it heartily as unto the Lord. And somebody comes and asks. People come and we have members in our church, and sometimes they go through a crisis in their life and the church gives out a benevolence to them. We give that to them heartily as unto the Lord. If they're able to give that back, that's on them and God. But we do it heartily as unto the Lord, not expecting anything back, because we're doing this for the Lord. And the Lord is able to increase that. The second thing that you can do in this regard, I don't know what number it is. I'm horrible at that. I'm sorry, y'all. But the next thing that we can do to obtain rewards is to minister to the ministers of God. Minister to the ministers of God. I'm going to give you several scriptures. Matthew 10, verses 40 through chapter 11, verse 1. Matthew 10, 40 through 11, verse 1. Next scripture, Mark 9, 41. Next scripture, Hebrews 13, 15 through 17. And some of you are doing your retirement with some company, you know, trying to build up your stuff. Boy, you'd be writing, but this is your eternal thing. So get this, and it's on tape if you don't. Galatians 6, 6 through 8. 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 19. 1 Corinthians 9, 9 through 14. You can obtain rewards by ministering to the ministers of God. And this is beautiful to me, and I want you to hear this. He that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. We're talking about rewards, right? So you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he will not lose his reward. Isn't it beautiful about just giving? It's just about giving. It's about kindness. It's about helpfulness. It's about love. That's really what it is to build your treasures in heaven. It's all of this. And so you see somebody that's ministering in the name of the Lord, you receive them in the name of the Lord, you get their reward. If you see a prophet and you receive them as a prophet from God, you get their reward. If you see just a disciple of Jesus Christ, man, that guy, that lady, she's a Christian. I want to go give her a bottle of water. You're not going to lose your reward for that because you're doing it because they belong to Jesus Christ. That's so awesome. Because maybe some of you here this morning, you may think, oh, the preachers, they're going to get all the rewards, you know, and the evangelists, they're going to get all the rewards. And it's like, man, I didn't have the advantage that Billy Graham had. I mean, God just did something in his life, sent him all over the world, gave him all of these crusades, brought millions of people to Jesus Christ. It's a little unfair if I would have to follow Billy Graham or follow the Apostle Paul in heaven. No, it's not. Because God said that if you recognized my anointing on his life and received him as such, then the reward I give him, I will give you. That's just beautiful. It's just absolutely wonderful that God is so gracious to do that for us. The Bible also tells us in Galatians 6, 6 through 8, it says this, let him that is taught in the word give to him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. And so the Bible says here, if somebody is teaching you the things of God, give to them. You give to them. And the Bible even says very specifically in the scriptures I gave you, and you can study that, it talks about those that come and minister the word of God to us. And it says they are ministering spiritual things to us. Therefore, we should minister back to them carnal things. Carnal not being sinful, just earthly things they need to live, because ministers need to eat and they need a place to live and they need clothing and they need these things as well. And this is the way God takes care of it. And so the Bible teaches us that if somebody is ministering you to the word of God, then give back to them carnal things. Recognize that. And when you do that, you are reaping to the Spirit. You're sowing to the Spirit and you will reap from the Spirit. And so you have that opportunity. That's why we take up love offerings for guests. That's why we serve the body of Christ and be able to give those. I'll always give. Somebody's preaching the word to me. I'm always going to give to them. I'm always going to support that. I'm always going to contribute money or something into their life that I can possibly give to them because I believe in the reward. I believe in the relationship of it. And I also just want to help them because I appreciate what they're doing for me. The next one would be this. You can receive rewards by ministering to the body of Christ. Ministering to the church of Jesus Christ. Again, in Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you don't faint. As you have opportunity, do good to all men, but especially those of your church, your household of faith, especially them. So you can receive rewards by doing that. It's about kindness, guys. It's about love. It's about serving. It's about loving Jesus so much. It's about loving His gospel and His kingdom and His church so much that I want to help it thrive in every way that I can. I want to love those who don't love me. Those that God has raised up in ministry and that are serving the Lord and making great sacrifices in their life, and maybe they don't have access to a lot of the accumulation of comforts that the world has that others might get to enjoy. I want to give them enjoyment in this life. I want to help them be able to have something and provide for them. I want to take care of people. I want to see people in need. I want to give a cup of water to a disciple of Jesus Christ, somebody that's been born again. I just want to be kind to them. I want to love them. And I want to do it heartily as unto the Lord. And I want to do these things. And if you have that in you, that love in you, then you will not lose your reward. It will be very profitable for you. You can do a lot without love. You can give your body to be burned and not have love. You can sell everything you have and give it away and not have love. But if you really have love and you're doing it, you really love Jesus and you really love one another, then you can do it. I want to close with this illustration in 2 Timothy chapter 1 about a man named Onesiphorus. And he was an illustration of somebody that's going to be rewarded in heaven. And I want you to see his life, and it would be a wonderful prayer for you to pray for yourself and the grace of God upon you, that you would have this life as well. In 2 Timothy, Paul makes this comment about this guy in verse 16. Everybody had turned away from Paul. They hated him. Everywhere he went, he was thrown in prison or he was beaten or the city said, get out of here, we don't want you. And here's this one guy who's so unashamed of a man he believes is a man of God. And Paul recognizes this. He says in verse 16, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. Not only to this man, but to his house, to his wife, to his children. Why? Why, Lord, have mercy on him? He often refreshed me. Wow. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the minister of God. This is the perfect illustration of everything. He often refreshed me. It was like he was doing it heartily as unto the Lord. He didn't just do it once or twice. He didn't drain me. He wasn't a drag on my life. Every time he talked to me, it was not about a problem. But he came into my life and he saw what was lacking and he saw my needs. Because oftentimes I was in prison and I was without. A lot of times I was in prison during the winters and it was very, very cold. And he would bring me coats and he would bring me blankets and he would bring me food when they weren't giving me good food. He just often did this for my life. That's a blessed friend. And so I ask you that. Are you often refreshing the body of Christ, the servants of God, the disciples of Jesus Christ? He was not ashamed of my chain. He wasn't ashamed. A lot of people were. Everybody forsook me. Everybody left me. But this guy didn't. He wasn't ashamed of the way I was being treated for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew that he could also be treated that way for what he was doing. But he was willing to do it because I needed help. And this guy was helping me. And then he goes on and he says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and he found me. I love that. I love that. Well, you didn't let me know what you needed. You never called. You never wrote. You never texted. And Paul's like, I was in Rome. This guy came to Rome. I mean, that's like one of the big cities of the day, right? And you don't have Google, you don't have Google Earth or whatever, or phones or cell phones, or, you know, you just got to go all through Rome trying to find this guy. And you just narrowed it down to Christians and synagogues and the churches, and you're going to probably run into Paul. And he didn't just go, hey, is Paul there? No, he's not here. Well, I tried. You know, no, he kept looking for me and looking for me and looking for me until he found me. He really loves me. He really loves me. He really took care of me. He was very aware of what I needed. He was very aware of where I was. And he took care of me. And he says this in verse 18. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, you know very well. And I want to say this last thing. The ministry of Onesiphorus was not private. It was extremely public. It was so public that the Apostle Paul was able to say about Onesiphorus, and all of you know how well he took care of me in Ephesus. Now what happened in Ephesus? He fought the beast. Paul fought the beast at Ephesus. He died every day. I mean, as far as Paul was concerned, any day in Ephesus, I'm about to die. And here's this guy who openly and unashamedly served me in Ephesus so that all I have to do when I write to Timothy is, you know what he did. It's evident. You know what he did. And beloved, I just want you to know that those who are gaining treasures in heaven, it is evident. It is evident. It is evident in the way that they love and the way that they serve and the way that they give and the way that they do things heartily as unto the Lord. They're occupied with eternity and not the things that they see. Though we all get distracted with that, right? We all float between the two so many times. But the consistency is the ofting refreshing and benefiting and so forth and bringing the glory of Jesus Christ into the generation. And what an opportunity. We all have it. Everything I read, any one of you can do. Well, I don't have $10 to give the preacher today. I got a dime. People might not think much of that, but God thinks a lot of it. God thinks a lot of it. Because He knows. He knows. He knows the sacrifices you make that maybe nobody else will. And maybe people will look at you and see how you're loving somebody so genuinely and sincerely. And everybody, oh, you're such a wonderful person. Look what good friends they are. And somebody just comes and says, no, actually that person hates them. And they're just loving them and loving them and loving them. And nobody would have ever known. Nobody would have ever known, but because of your attitude, and you're laying treasures up in heaven by doing that. So, beloved, when you get home, be rich. Be rich. Because this is going to mark your role and your leadership and your responsibility in the eternal kingdom of God. And this is your one shot at it. And so you're about to exhale your breath. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Finish well. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you have put within the reach of every one of us the opportunity to be wealthy towards you, to have treasures in heaven. I thank you, Lord, that all of this is through the power of your Holy Spirit. It is through your grace. It is not to the strong, not to the intellect, not to the mighty. But it is to anyone who just simply believes and wants to serve you with all of their heart. Lord, I'm sure that our motives many times have to be checked. But Lord, thank you that we can check them here so that when we meet you, the works that we have been able to do on earth will not burn up. And we can know that we're going to receive that reward. Blessed are those that love your appearing. They shall receive the crown of life. And Lord, help us to love your appearing and your coming. Help us, Father, in every way to maintain and not to loosen up and not to faint and not to give up in the doing good. For, Lord, you truly will reward. You truly will. And help us to inspire others to it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you.